I want to begin actually by sharing a testimony with you. It's not my testimony, but one that I came across a couple of weeks ago. I don't know about you, but I just love testimonies. I love to hear what God is doing in individual lives. And there's something very moving about the way in which God deals with us in our own individual way, and he meets a need that is just specific to us. No testimony is exactly the same. Every testimony is different, just as God sees fit to actually come into our lives and bring his word or his encouragement or indeed his salvation in the first instance. What is so beautiful about testimonies is that it illustrates just how he knows us so individually and intimately as individuals. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says that we are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. That's a beautiful thought. We are God's workmanship. And maybe somebody just needs to hear that this morning. You personally, I want to speak to and say you are God's workmanship. And Paul goes on in Ephesians, created in Christ to do good works which God planned in advance for us to do. I want to say that to every young person this morning. You are God's workmanship. God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I saw you. Before I saw you, formed you in the womb, I knew you. Did he just know about Jeremiah? Of course not. God knows about everyone, every little person in the womb. He sees them. He is an all-knowing God. And so every young person growing up in a world which, let's face it, is very uncertain in many ways, you are God's workmanship. He has a purpose and a plan for you. And if it doesn't seem very clear to you right now, you begin by committing your life wholeheartedly to him, to his purpose and his plan for you. And you will never regret that or look back. Commit yourself to him wholeheartedly. The scripture says in Proverbs, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You are precious to him. You are precious to him. And if you're feeling this morning that, well, maybe God doesn't even know about me or doesn't care, let me assure you, you are precious to him. He saw you in your mother's womb. He saw you there and he knew you there. So back to the testimony I want to share with you, because it touched my heart to listen to this testimony. And as I say, there's something very beautiful about the way God touches each one of us, and each one of us has a testimony. The man I'm speaking about is a Jew, and he describes how he grew up in his parents' home, which was a very unhappy home. His parents were always arguing and going at one another. They were constantly quarreling. Well, the lad developed a very severe earache. I don't necessarily think that was because of the quarreling of his parents, but he developed a very serious earache. And a friend of theirs said, you need to call the priest. You need to call the priest. They were an Orthodox, strict Jewish family. You need to call the priest, and you need to get him to slaughter a lamb in the presence of the family. Now, this to you and me seems strange, but this was part of the Jewish custom, no doubt, and still is in Orthodox Judaism. And so they went ahead and they asked the priest to come, and he brought a lamb. And as the priest slaughtered the lamb in the presence of the family, and as the lamb died, the man, or lad as he was at that point, the man recalls that the earache was completely healed. Well, he grew up, and in time he went to work in the USA, and some of his work colleagues were bright, believing Christians. Of course, the Jewish religion does not acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah, and do not accept the New Testament as a valid account at all. And this young man only had a very scanty knowledge of the Torah, which of course is the first five books of the Bible. the Old Testament makes up the Jewish Bible, but the Torah is very much the foundation of what they believe. And so he didn't really have much knowledge of the rest of the Old Testament. And he soon discovered that his Christian friends, where he worked, actually knew his Jewish Bible much better than he did. And they directed him to the book of Isaiah and chapter 53, where he read those beautiful words prophetic of Jesus. And it says, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Let me just read that again. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he did not open his mouth. And he recalled the lamb of his childhood, silent as it was slaughtered before him, and how that he had been healed miraculously of his earache. Then he read other verses. The scripture goes on like this. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And suddenly the truth dawned on this young man. Jesus was the Messiah. He had come and suffered and died the worst death that man could devise in order to bear the penalty of his sins. He read John the Baptist's words when he saw Jesus. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him as he was there with his disciples. And he says these words, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There and then that young man committed his life to Jesus as Saviour and Lord. But not wanting to upset his family, he didn't tell them about his discovery or about his new faith. But later in life, as a married man, he had a son who was travelling back to see them in his car and was involved in an incredibly serious accident. They were expecting him to turn up at the door, but instead of him turning up at the door, the police turned up and told the family what had happened. He was in intensive care in hospital, and in his testimony, the memory of this was so powerful that the man completely broke down in tears as he was giving this testimony. His memory took him back again to his childhood when the lamb was slaughtered and God moved and healed him of his earache. And he cried out to God in his anguish and he said, God, you have to give me back my son. You have to give me back my son. And in an amazing, miraculous healing, his son was back with them in just a few days. And you know, he finished his testimony by saying these words. He said, I didn't want to upset my family, so I never shared my faith with them. But now I have to tell. I have to tell. And the fundamental question, as we listen to that testimony of that young man, now probably in his 50s by the look of the video that I was watching. The fundamental question to you and me is, who is Jesus to me? Who is Jesus to you? To this man, growing up, he was a nobody, an imposter, a blasphemer, claiming to be God. That is until his eyes were opened to see he was the true Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I always remember the words of C.S. Lewis. He said these. He said, if Jesus is not who he claims to be, and therefore Christianity is not true, he said, then it is of no importance. But if he is, and it is true, he said, it is of vital importance to each one of us. The one thing he said it cannot be is moderately important. Let me read you a few verses from Hebrews 12, Hebrews 12 and verses 1 to 3. And the writer says this, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off all that hinders and the sins that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." During this period of lockdown, it's been a testing time. We have missed the fellowship of one another. We've missed being together as church. And maybe one thing we've missed more than everything else is our corporate worship of Jesus. There's something about worshiping together which is so beautiful and so special. And Scripture tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. And there's something about our corporate worship which ushers in a special way, the presence of God. And we miss these things. But maybe it raises the question for each one of us, where does my peace and security lie? Is it in the church? Is it in the routine of work, home, church, which has been so interrupted and disrupted? When these things are stripped away, am I left floundering? Or are my eyes fixed on Jesus? This passage begins, "We are surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses." Who are these witnesses? You'll have to read the preceding chapter, chapter 11, to find out who they are. They were all men and women of incredibly great faith, many of whom faced huge challenges and yet held firm to the promises of God. There was Abraham, an old man who was promised by God that he would have a son, and yet, naturally speaking, it seemed impossible. And yet it said Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. In the face of incredibly huge odds, he believed the word of God, and God blessed him because of that. He was one of these witnesses. There was others like Noah. Noah was told to build an ark because God was going to deluge the whole world with water, with rain. And yet it had never rained up to that point. The earth up to that point had been watered by the dew, heavy dews. But God said, "I'm going to make it rain and you're going to build an ark." And people mocked him and they said, "Wow, this is rubbish. We've never seen rain before. How do you know it's going to rain?" But Noah persevered and built his ark. And God rescued him and his family from the judgment that God brought upon the land at that time. And in spite of that lonely road that Noah walked, of persecution and abuse and verbal he actually continued with that promise from God. And obviously God brought about what he had promised. Some trusted in God in spite of huge uncertainty. Moses' parents, as you probably know the story, Moses was born at a time of great danger to all the little boys at that time. And his parents hid him in the bulrushes because they believed that God would bring him through. And God did. But it must have been a terribly uncertain and frightening time for them. But they believed the word of God. They trusted in what God had said. And God brought Moses through that to be the great leader of the children of Israel. He was called the friend of God. Then there was Daniel, who faced incredible danger as he was thrown into the den of lions. And yet he believed that God would bring him through. And God brought him through in spite of the danger, because he believed and trusted in God. Others faced great suffering and persecution, great deprivation, because of their faith. This is the cloud of witnesses that surround us as we persevere in our walk with God. We could add to that list vast numbers of believers down through the centuries since. May those who were burnt at the stake for standing for the truth. And in the present day even, men and women who are persecuted and killed in this very day and age for their faith, because they refuse to deny who Jesus is. Why? Because they've seen that revelation of the person of Christ. How are they able to stand in the face of such things? The answer is in Hebrews 11, verse 27. Speaking of Moses, it says, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. It's an interesting paradox. He saw him who is invisible. And you know, those of us who know the Lord, we can't see him, but we know who he is because we've had that revelation and that picture, that understanding of who he is and all that he has done. We have seen him who is invisible. He, Moses, along with others, had that revelation of God himself. It was something they could never deny. It was someone that they could never deny. And God gave them the strength to stand. And he still does give people the strength, believers the strength, to stand in the face of incredible opposition and suffering. And so the writer of Hebrews goes on, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. It's a beautiful title, that, the author and the perfecter of our faith, the finisher of our faith. Jesus is indeed the author of everything. He's the author of creation. John tells us that without him nothing has been made that was made. He's the author of creation. He's the author of life. Scripture speaks of him as being the author of life. The author of life you slew, Paul says, speaking to the people. He's the author of life. Paul, speaking at Athens, says, in him we live and we move and we have our being. He's the author of our faith. And he's the author of our salvation. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Without beginning, the scripture says, and without ending of days. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So the writer says here, we have this great cloud of witnesses. Let's be like them. Let's run the race as they did. Let's persevere, throwing off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us hold fast to the truth. These are my words, not the scripture. Let us hold fast to the truth. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the one we need to fix our eyes upon. My question to you is this morning, do you know him? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? These witnesses, they faced huge challenges, persecution, suffering, and yet they persevered because they'd seen the one who had made the promise. You know, once you've seen the one who has made the promise, then you can never turn back from the call that he places upon your life. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's the promise of God, that if you seek him earnestly, you will find him. He will reward you for your seeking. As that Jewish man began to search, he had that revelation of who Jesus really was. And when you get that revelation, everything he did, everything he said, becomes vitally important to you. He died for you, and because he lives, you will also live forever with him. The fact is that God has a purpose for each one of us, and God's earnest desire is for relationship with you and with me. And in order to bring about the possibility of that relationship, Jesus came and laid down his life to remove that barrier between us and God, our sin. And as he laid down his life and took that sin upon himself, so he opened up the way to heaven. Opened up the way that we can have relationship and walk with God, our Maker, the lover of our souls. One of my favourite hymns is this one written by an Irish lady. And the middle verse goes like this: when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. That is, in essence, is the crux of the good news of the gospel of Jesus. God sent his Son into the world. He took our sins upon himself. And everyone who believes in him, what he has done, and accepts him as Saviour, is saved for eternity. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God offers that gift to you today. He offers that gift of eternal life. Why would you refuse it? Look to Jesus today. Accept him as your Saviour. Put your faith and trust in him. You will never be disappointed. The scripture says whoever puts their trust in God will never be put to shame, because God honours his promise. His gift is there for you, eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me just finish by praying. Father, I just want to thank you for the amazing gift of our salvation. I want to thank you for the amazing truth of your word, the amazing security and of your promises, the amazing hope that we have through faith in what you say and what you've done. Father, I just pray you'll help us each one, those here, those that are listening, Lord, those in this church, those outside. Lord, I pray that they may see the light. You'll open their eyes to see the wonder of the gospel. As Paul the Apostle said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to the salvation of everyone who believes. Lord, just open our eyes. Grant us that faith to see you for who you are, to put our faith and trust and receive that gift today of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.